You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com.
A lot of pressure cooking out there. No matter where you look, people are looking to Montana to kind of escape. We've got wide open spaces. There's turmoil in those places. Well, so how about a 200-acre plus ranch in Montana? Well, you know, it's not that easy. All right, there's a lot of things that go into that. But we've seen this as our guests will call them, COVID-19 refugees. Are they bringing jobs with them? That's one question. What about these landlord purchases? What does that do to our ag industry? And how about the influx and the difference in the economic and social landscapes now because of it? We're exploring that issue and more today on Voices.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today at 866-627-5483 or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now here's your host, Tom Schultz.
Super to have you along today. Appreciate that. Midweek, and we've got a good show. We'll be talking, well, a bit later on. Brad Griffin's going to join us. I didn't mention that early, but he's with the Montana Retail Association. I've been pondering, I talked about it yesterday a little bit, what is this effectiveness of a state initiative that got underway in May to get people back to work and off the unemployment lines? Talked about, and I think people know it, they see the for sale, or not for sale, but the jobs for hire signs all over the place. Retail businesses, restaurants, they have faced a daunting shortage of labor. That's going to be on the docket with Brad Griffin a bit later on. We'll also throw in there this report today about our U.S. Consumer Price Index. It rose to a 13-year high, another 0.9% last month. It's over 5%. That does equate, not exactly across the board, to inflation, but we are seeing inflation, you could say, at a record high. How does that affect our retail industries in Montana? That a bit later on. But first, we have in studio Andrew Ron. Andy, I'm just going to call you Andy because that's what you go by.
Yeah, that's what I go by, yeah.
Yeah, but when you put your official title up there, it's Andrew A.D. Ron the Fourth.
That's right.
A.R.A., yeah.
Like my dad says, we number them, we don't name them.
It's a good way to go. Come from a line then of family, South Central Montana?
Yeah, Billings.
Yeah.
Grew up in Billings.
Yeah. Okay, and as I talked about yesterday too, Andy runs, well, he's an appraiser, an accredited appraiser, Montana certified general appraiser, accredited rural appraiser as well. You just kind of wonder as, and he runs a website called the Montana Land Source, mtlandsource.com. We'll talk about that because it's pretty detailed, some technology that you and a friend discovered. The big questions are land values in Montana. They are at record highs, really, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. We're seeing probably the strongest seller market, the hottest market possibly in the history of Montana ever right now. It's nuts.
200 plus acres is where you focus on.
Correct. Yep.
And that's a pretty good spread. But if spreads go as how large in Montana?
Oh, we've seen sales in 100,000 acres.
Yeah.
So
are those
big ranches?
They're big ranches, and they've been production pieces and a part of our Montana landscape for years. That's land that's been passed on generation through generation.
Yep.
So we wonder, you know, the people who are coming in and interested in those lands, are they interested in making them production pieces? Are they getaways? We're seeing this influx. I think people are well aware of it. The price of a median home in Gallatin County or in Bozeman itself is over, it's like $750,000, the median price of a home.
Right.
So some of that's unsustainable, but what are they looking for? How will they take pieces of land in Montana that have been in production for a lot of years and develop that?
Well, it really depends on the size and the location, but you know, those very large ranches, we tend to call those legacy ranches. So that's a whole different buyer set, of course, you know, ultra wealthy, that kind of stuff. Those guys tend to be, that's why they're called legacy. They're looking for a legacy. So often they will keep it in production, you know, and there's been concerns in the past, of course, of that stuff like that getting chopped up, but and subdivided and that kind of stuff. But on that scale, a lot of those guys want to keep it intact and want to have a legacy place and possibly keep it for multiple generations if the family continues with that interest. But then when you get into smaller acreage, you get into a whole different deal. You get into, some of the more working class COVID refugees, possibly, down to the hundreds of acres kind of thing. So it really varies, of course, on size.
Is that a term that that the entire West is using? Because we're seeing influx into the West from these so-called COVID refugees.
Yeah, although, here we are midway through 2020. So COVID, of course, it's still with us, but it's somewhat in the rearview mirror or, hopefully so. And I think a lot of us thought this phenomenon might be constrained to 2020, but boy, 2021, it still continues. So there's more going on than just fleeing COVID. And I think you said it in the introduction, some of it's been social and political situations in other states, people fleeing that. Of course, people are independent from, where they work more than ever, being able to work remotely. COVID changed that probably forever. Mm-hmm. So people have more flexibility. In that regard, interest rates are down. There's just a lot going on.
What are people looking for?
Well, I think, isolation. Montana has a reputation, for being kind of libertarian and you can do what you want when you want, that kind of thing. So I think that's attracting people. Like I said, we hear a lot about the buyer set, a lot of frustration with politics and even regulation where they're coming from. So especially like West Coast, California, Oregon, Washington. And it sounds like all these factors within the last 2 years tipped people. A lot of these buyers sort of expressed they'd been dreaming about it, thinking about it. Maybe it was their long-term plan, that kind of thing. And then all these things come together and that's it. They're done. They want out. And they pull the trigger and go.
You talked about it a little bit, and we're trying to get a handle on it because I know you're not a political scientist or a sociologist, but you are you have a relationship with buyers in mm-hmm. that regard.
Yeah.
So your sense is that as they flee some of these turmoil areas, and they've been thinking about it for a while. I think that's interesting.
Right. Well, and a really interesting point that was made to me by a prominent broker. We were contrasting with the 2000s. The lead up to the crash in 2008 was a very, very hot time in the Montana land market. But an interesting contrast that's been made, pointed out, by a couple brokers is back then people were running to Montana, the investment potential and everything. In this environment we're seeing now, it's more like people are running from something. And I think that's a very interesting, looking at the sociology and psychology, that's a very interesting phenomenon. And it does make you think what's going to happen in the future. One of the speculations on that is even when this market calms down, which it'll have to, it's not sustainable where it is now. A lot of those people that are running from something, are they going to stick or are they going to, is there going to be a secondary market, if you will, or, of people that, the summers are hot and smoky or the winters are cold or, whatever. And, are they going to stick? So that'll be interesting to see.
That was my thought there too, is that if they're running from something, that is a sense of instability, isn't it?
In the market. Yeah. And there was a study done by MSU a long time ago, back in the 90s. And it showed in Gallatin County how there was a lot of influx, starting back then, but there was a fair amount of people that didn't stick and moved on. And some of it was they perceived Bozeman at that time was kind of like Mayberry, represented something that perhaps where they're from has been lost. Maybe they're in Cleveland or something. And when they grew up, it was like the Beavers, but now there's crime and this and that, and they come to Bozeman and they have certain expectations. Well, even though, especially back then, Bozeman was relatively small and calm, there was still crime, there was still drugs in the schools, there was still, right? And so people, kind of wash out when their expectations don't come through.
Andy Rahn is with us. That's RAHNMTLandSource.com. Go to that site. He specializes. He's an appraiser, and he specializes in properties that's 200-plus acres. I want to talk about the development of that site because you look on it, it's pretty detailed, and I know that you and your partner went into that a little bit. But back to this, production pieces. And you've been in the market for a lot of years, or you've been an appraiser in Montana for a number of years. So will they bring jobs? I guess that's the question. Are we going to have more jobs or less jobs because people are buying large chunks of land to escape something?
Yeah, I think it's an open question. There are opportunities being created. You know, things are changing all over the place in terms of rural landscape. And, you know, no longer is the only product out of those lands, you know, wheat or calves or hay. You know, carbon markets are developing. The amenity base hunting, you know, is bigger than ever. Fishing, recreation. So, you know, that the value resource there is more diverse than ever. So managing of those resources takes more than it ever has. So there's opportunities there for whether it's consultants or even, you know, on-site managers. They have to juggle a lot more things. So, you know, I think there are some opportunities. You know, I want to plug the podcast. I'm part of Ranch Investors Podcast, where we interview a lot of great local industry leaders and stuff. And that seems to be a theme in some of our recent recordings. The double edge, because it's difficult for young operators to get into that industry, of course, if they're not inheriting a family place, you know, virtually impossible. And that's a, you know, that's a sad and concerning thing. But there's also, you know, management jobs and consulting jobs. And so, you know, I think the real answer is it remains to be seen. And it's change. It's going to happen. And we just got to live with it and adjust with it. But
you had talked about Montana State University, and you're a graduate there, land, correct, resources, science. You've been just interested in land all,
yep,
your life.
Yeah.
They've got a land management program.
Right, brand new. Right. Yeah. And we had Dr. Frost, who's spearheading that on our podcast. Yeah. So I think that's wonderful and probably overdue, you know, to have a local Montana. You know, there's been ranch management out of Texas and, you know, some other places, but not here. And so I think that's a great development.
So do these we talked about kind of what people are looking for, but are they people of means? I mean, large means?
Well, you kind of have to be. I mean, with the values yeah, that we're seeing, you know, yeah, it's not cheap by any, or inexpensive by any measure. So, yeah, I mean, the smaller acreage, of course, and even, you know, way down to stuff we don't really track, you know, just home sites and stuff, you know, of course. And, you know, there's some low value, small acreage subdivisions in Montana with no covenants where you can, you know, that, yeah, kind of thing. But any acreage, you pretty much have to, you know, be of means.
Do you have a sense that they're going to contribute then economically to our society?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and this is not a new phenomenon, you know, yeah, out-of-state buyers have been with us for a long, long, long time, and it varies. But, you know, I've seen some out-of-state buyers just be unbelievably passionate about the area that they've, you know, kind of moved into and spread some wealth. You know, of course it goes both ways. You know, the other side of that is people coming in and locking gates and, you know, keeping people out and, you know, that kind of stuff. But, you know, in some ways I almost feel like that's, well, I don't know if I can say if that's rare, but, it's a double-edged sword because a lot of people come in and they do, you know, they do spend money that, I mean, let's just take the example of maybe a multi-generational owner-operator outfit, you know, kind of hand-to-mouth being trying to make it in agriculture, right? And the place sells, which kind of is saddening, but then someone of wealth comes in and they start investing in that piece of land and start, you know, restoring it or investing in habitat for hunting and fishing and that kind of stuff. And so, you know, and some of those guys, you know, get passionate about buying a new firehouse for the local volunteer fire department or, you know, yeah, those kind of things. Yeah. So it just depends on the individual, of course, and I think there is a cultural shift where the buyers that come do want to be involved and connected to the, and, you know, I think that might be a little bit of a generational thing. You know, the boomers had a little more of a my kingdom, my castle. I'm going to do what I want and, you know, run this place.
Yeah.
I think younger generations, and people talk about millennials, you know, kind of being experience based and maybe relationship based in a sort. They want experiences and they want connections. So they come out and they want to be part of a community.
Andy Ron is with us here. We'll come on back. I'm an optimist, so I'm happy to hear that they want to be connected. I think you should be connected to your community. Who is selling? That's another question. We'll come on back and talk more about Montana Land Sources. Andy Ron here on Voices of Montana. Land value skyrocketing. That's the good and bad news, really, across Montana. Young producers looking to maybe buy some ag land or being outpriced by, as the phrase is, COVID-19 refugees. How's the influx of people into Montana escaping some turmoil in other areas? Not that we don't have our share of difficulties here. How's that going to affect our economic and social landscapes as well as our finances here in Montana? We're discussing that today with Andy Ron. He's with Montana Land Source. It is... I want to talk about this too, so I'll save some time. If I, you know, I think the website's pretty cool, but mtlandsource.com, it specializes, it's a GIS map that will show the land values and locations and a lot of other various information of acreage that's 200 plus for sale in Montana. So we'll continue here from Montana for Montana. I'm Tom Schultz. We'll go to Casey. He's got a question from Great Falls on KQDI's 1450 AM. Casey, thanks for joining us here today on Voices.
Yeah, I wanted to ask your expert there about his experience as far as any foreign buyers, and particularly Chinese. I've heard reports, I got relatives in Iowa, there's people coming in there and buying valuable farmland. Have you seen anything like that in Montana?
It's a good question, and I'm going to add to that, like nonprofits, so, you know, the, of course, the American Prairie Reserve, they have come and inflated prices because they've gotten a different agenda, so to speak, and they've got a lot of money. It's out-of-state money, so to speak, and that kind of hits us in a place in Montana to a certain degree. So the question from Casey is well-merited, and, you know, who these people are, so to speak, and I bet it's hard to track down if they're Chinese investors.
Yeah, a little bit, and we've seen some of that, you know, for a long while, but it's not – I wouldn't say it's a dominant factor now. What he referred to in farmland has gotten a lot of attention as being a top investment. I mean, Bill Gates, you know, investing in farmland. But Montana, you know, of course we have productive farmland, but it's a different investment class than Midwest. You know, that's kind of more industrial investment grade land. Montana, you know, I think we're still a little bit more dominated by experiential. You know, it's still about the ranch and the experience and stuff. So I think most of who we attract, we talked about legacy ranches earlier, you know, kind of the experiential as well as just a pure investment.
Are there, who is selling? Let me just ask that question.
Well, my first reaction to that is up till recently, nobody, because we have had an unbelievably tight supply. And I think the same conditions that were leading to, limited supply. Mm-hmm. With this increase in demand, I think that led a lot of people who might otherwise be sellers to not sell. So we've had an unbelievably high demand, low supply. That's just changing now. The market's starting to respond now, and we're busy as we can be mapping new listings that are hitting the market. So I think, you know, anybody out there who was thinking of selling, or even if it was in their plan for the next couple of years, you know, in the course of this hot market, they're saying to themselves, we better do it. You know, a lot of family ownerships that the kids aren't interested in taking over the place, right? So, and even some of those legacy places, you know, if the next generation isn't looking too bullish on the prospect. And a lot of people, you know, want to locate or, you know, upsize or downsize. But of course, that's difficult because then they have to look into replacing what they're, and that's hard. To be a buyer in this market is brutal. So, you know,
that is, like I said, the good and bad of these, of this. So one of the terms that you used when we chatted just the other day was overenthusiastic.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's a fair term for what's going on here. People, and again, they are of considerable means. So, you know, what happens next, I guess, is what I'm trying to lead to.
In our market?
Yeah.
Well, it's anybody's guess, but yeah, we are in a time of overenthusiasm, and it's gonna correct. It's, you know, it's unsustainable. You know, presumably it'll just stall out a little bit. Supply will catch up, and then buyers will have more choices. That kind of thing. So it'll transition away from being a seller's market as much. Of course, the big question that everyone wants to know is, you know, are values going to go down? And that doesn't really happen unless things crash. You know, the market in Montana is usually pretty consistent, unless we see some kind of a crash happen like we did in 08 or in the 80s, you know, of course, was a rough time. So I kind of suspect things are just going to slowly stall out and weaken. You know, we'll see how dramatic that gets.
What's the volume like?
Of transactions?
Yeah.
Oh, it's you know, in fact, in some ways, I'm more blown away by the volume than pricing. We're starting to see the data for pricing is coming in, and it's showing up to be pretty dramatic. But the volume is unreal. I mean, the volume of transactions in this year so far just dwarfs times past. It's unbelievable.
How let's see. I got a news break upcoming. How many parcels are out there that are under 200 acres? That's not really in your wheelhouse.
Well, you know, we want to expand actually into that market, and it's hard to estimate, but it's substantial. You know, at least fourfold, I would say, because you know, you get down into 5 acres and 10 acres and 20 acres. There's just tons of them.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. Those are people who were wise enough 25 years ago to purchase 20 acres of land, and sit on it for a while, and they'll have something. We're gonna come on back and talk about this website. I think it's pretty cool, and the technology that goes into that. Andy Ron is with us. He is an accredited rural appraiser with Montana Land Source, a collaboration between him and some friends. We'll peel into that in just a bit. Brad Griffin's gonna join us a bit later on with the Montana Retail Association. Talk about consumer price index, inflation, and other issues. But let's grab some headlines from Brian Bennett. All right, I just clicked on Montana Land Source. It's mtlandsource.com. And the live market statistics, pretty cool. Right on that front page, 458 properties for sale, 200 plus acres. Total acres for sale, 650,000. Total of the listing price is $1.5 billion.
That's right.
That is an awful lot. That's
right.
Andy Ron is with us here, an appraiser in Montana. We're discussing the influx of residents, what's that doing to our land values, and you developed this website, this GIS mapping. It's pretty cool, and I guess you're gonna take it to the next level too.
Yeah, we have a new website coming out with a lot more market stats and just, you know, user friendly, that kind of stuff. So we're really excited about that.
What went into this technology? Because it seems to me, as I read this, you developed this quite a while ago, or a little while ago.
Yeah, well, it just started from a database and a GIS of mapped properties that I was using just to do appraisals. And as I built up that data and that map, you know, I just kind of realized this has got higher value and would be of value to people. And so could we put this on a website platform? And we get subscription rates for it. So it's mostly industry professionals, but also buyers, serious buyers. There's no better resource out there. I mean, if you're looking or for any reason need to track the rural Montana land market for larger acreage, we're by far the resource for you.
Did you do it all by yourself, or are you going to give a shout out to one?
Give a shout out to Andy and Tim Botman. They're the web and database guys, and we all grew up together here in Billings, Montana, and built this ourselves.
So this was back in like 2013, 2014 or something?
Yeah.
In anticipation of land values being in higher demand in Montana?
Not really. You know, the nice thing about being an appraiser is things are good when they're good and good when they're bad. You know, it's kind of like taxes and death, right? Yeah. Everybody needs information on land values. So we're kind of insulated in that way. And it gets busier, of course, at times like this. But everybody needs information on land values.
Do you get these questions an awful lot? I know you're an appraiser, so you're looking at land values. It's a different aspect. It's the financial and economic side of things, but it's also on the other end of that, the backstory, as you say, it's about people. And so we're curious about this because, you know, and we've seen these influxes in Montana before, but this seems to be entirely different.
Right. Well, good appraisers will tell you, you know, the backstory is important. The reason why, you know, you get the hard number about what a place sold for, but was there special considerations? You know, what was the buyer motivation? What was the seller motivation? That's all important stuff.
And so you're answering that question an awful lot, I suppose.
Yeah, trying to.
Yeah. So, I guess you got any final thoughts here, you know, as to where we talked kind of about where it's going. It's hard to put a finger on it necessarily. And these people are coming in and buying land in other waves in Montana.
Yeah.
They didn't stick around so much, or some did and some didn't.
Right.
You're trying to anticipate a second wave as well. Or possibly.
Well, and that's just what we're trying to do with Montana Land Source, because we've actually got a lot of data. We've been accumulating this data. We've got a great background database, and we want to bring more of it forward and become more of a resource and have live stats on the website, because it's not really available otherwise. So we're kind of the first to do it. So it's just kind of a service we see providing. And, you know, functioning markets need some transparency, need some information. And Montana has suffered for that because it's a non-disclosure state. So there's not much good information out there about land values. And it causes problems for all kinds of operations.
Less than 30 seconds. I'm curious if our policymakers are contacting you about this, or when you're in those circles, they must be just – hungry for this type of information.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's we have so much public land in Montana. A lot of times there's land swaps proposed. You know, of course, the Crazy Mountains has been a source of that lately. And so that's where land values are important. And people, you know, those public comments on that. And so having good information and accurate information about land values is important.
Well, thank you for coming in, sharing today. Appreciate that.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me.
Ranchers, Ranch Investors podcast too.
Yeah, we also have a podcast with Coulter DeVries, and it's great content. A lot of local expertise on the ranch market.
Another shout out for that. We're back with Brad Griffin from the Montana Retail Association, from Montana for Montana.